American film has a long history, and you can see some of that history in a new DVD anthology called Treasures 3, Social Issues in American Film. The collection includes 48 films, rare cartoons, and newsreels from 1900 to 1934. Newsreels like this one from 1931 that tells the story of a Depression-era farm girl. In language that has no trace of political correctness, she offers herself in marriage to, quote, any respectable white man, whether he be deaf, dumb, crippled, or blind, for $10,000.
Does love enter into your scheme of things? Must you love the man you marry?
No, I expect to try to love him after, because any man that would be willing to do that much for me, it looks like I ought to learn to love him, though.
In these early films and newsreels, no social issue was taboo. They tackle atheism, communism, and the women's suffrage movement, experimental marriage, and homelessness. Scott Simon is the set's curator, and he joins us from San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about some of these wonderful films. I want to start with The Black Hand, the true story of a recent occurrence in the Italian Quarter of New York, 1906. Tell me about the importance of this film.
Well, this one, which is actually the first one on the set, is probably the first mafia film, certainly the first surviving one. So many early films are lost. And like so many of the films on the set, it was ripped from the headlines, which is to say there was a news story about the Black Hand members, that is the Italian mafia, being captured by detectives that hid in a stand-up freezer. So this was too good a story not to film, even in 1906.
So if you want to know where the stereotype comes from, you have to look back to 1906.
And earlier.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about New Women, Trial Marriages, 1907. That is a pretty hot topic for 1907.
It is. Well, I mean, one of the things about so many of these early films is, even though they're very specific about their era, they really speak exactly to the same issues that we're still facing. This one was another rip from the headlines. It was a proposal by a woman who was identified in the press as a congressman's wife, Elsie Clues Parsons, who had written a book called The Family, very genteel textbook, but buried 400 pages into it was her proposal about trial marriages, that is, that you should try marriage before getting it on. And it became a sort of slapstick comedy with some man trying four trial marriages, all of which are worse than the previous one.
It's certainly a send-up, and in some ways these films remind me of our cable news atmosphere, where there's just a lot of controversy, even more, I would say, than there is today.
Yeah, so many of these subjects of these films, I think you could not make today. And people think of early film as, oh, I don't know, slapstick comedies maybe. But a film like Where Are My Children, which is about abortion, made by then a major studio and still Universal Pictures, it's just not something that anyone would touch with a 10-foot pole anymore.
Who would go to see these films, and where would they see them?
Well, the films in the set are both mainstream studio films and films that were produced by unions and businesses and people that were promoting their point of view. But most of them would have been seen in mainstream theaters, movie theaters. People saw films in schools and YMCA halls, and it's amazing how many different places people saw early films.
But at the time, this would have been mainstream media.
Absolutely. I mean, Where Are My Children, the abortion film, was seen by millions, probably. It made more money than almost any film of the year. It was a big box office success. So these were mainstream movies.
Many of these films are made by famous names. The Ford Motor Company has put some out. Cecil B. DeMille has one called The Godless Girl.
Yeah, pretty wonderful film. He had seen an article in the paper in 1927 about an atheist society that was proselytizing Hollywood High School, trying to get the, as the paper said, the Christ-loving school to switch over to atheism. And this was a good start for his film, which is quite wonderfully spectacular about battles in high schools.
I want to play a little bit of one of the films that has some sound. It's called Listen to Some Words of Wisdom.
Do you realize that if everybody spent $1 a week, we'd have prosperity here again?
I can see that all right, but $1 a week won't help.
It won't help, hey? Well, now look here. $1 a week from 100 million people is $100 million. Why, that's nearly $500 million monthly.
So what we're hearing here is the voice of Mr. Courage telling Mr. Fear to spend money to help the economy. That message has a familiar ring.
Exactly. This was how we were going to get out of the Depression in 1930 when this film was made, which was a little mini-drama stuck into both Hearst and Fox newsreels, a whole series of these Mr. Courage and Mr. Fear films. And the basic idea was we just need to start spending more money and we'll work our way out of the Depression. And in some ways, you know, that wasn't so far from what Roosevelt would say a few years later, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
So patriotic shopping has been with us for a long time.
It has.
Do you think that viewers will be surprised by the range of issues that weren't taboo at the beginning of the 20th century, and we really can't talk about these things now?
I think so. I mean, for a couple of reasons. Films weren't really quite as censored, although there was a censor board as early as 1909. But also, I think, in some ways, there's just sort of commercial taboos now against making films about abortion or some of these others. I mean, films in the set include films about veterans' rehabilitation and homelessness and workplace discrimination that, you know, are quite around, but I doubt if many films are made about them anymore.
Scott Simon is the curator of Treasures 3, Social Issues in American Film. He's also a professor of English at UC Davis. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We leave you with a film from 1934, from one of New York State's notorious prisons.
Sing Sing Prison. From within its walls, Metrotone brings a message of profound import.
It's a bleak message in black and white about the rising imprisonment of young people.
Into the company of murderers, thugs, and thieves marches a grim host of young men, broken in spirit, embittered at the world. Must prison be their goal? In 6 months of this year, 40% of those arrested throughout the country were under 24. Who will heed the ever-beckoning hand? Give us a chance, cries youth.
The film set will be released tomorrow by the National Film Preservation Foundation. You can see clips of the films at our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Deborah Amos.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.